Tonight's a very interesting topic. Anybody who's a bit hashkafa minded and has got any sense of kind of hashkafa and musa will enjoy this discussion because it's really something to think about. So we know there's really, I can't call it schools of thought. I was thinking before of an accurate word. We've got the school of halacha. School is not the right word. We've got the mahalach of halacha. Which is halacha, we know, that's what we do here, yeah? We define exactly what is permitted, what is also, what is right, what is wrong, that's halacha, yeah? There's another whole world, and that's the world of Kabbalah. And the world of Kabbalah is really, if you do a mitzvah, really you want to get it right according to Kabbalah as well, because that's the deeper meaning of the... It's the deeper meaning of the mitzvah, it's Kabbalah. Anybody who does mitzvah according to Kabbalah, he really got the essence of the mitzvah. He really got it, he got the depth of the mitzvah. So people who are very, very into, so somebody does the mitzvahs purely, deeply Kabbalah, he has got the deeper meaning of the mitzvah. He's got the mystical depth of the, right, what happens though? What happens if it clashes? What happens if it clashes? Now, the question, of course, is how can it be that it clashes? And that's something which I don't know why there is. That's something which is anybody who's got a bit of hashkofa should want to think about it. I don't know why. But at times it clashes. Halacha tells you yes, and Kabbalah tells you no, or vice versa. There can be many examples. And when it clashes, often, right, if you know, often it doesn't clash, right? The fact that it says one of the Lama Tes Melachas is to write Shtei Oisias on Shabbos. That's what the Torah said. That's what Halacha said. And that's of course what the Kabbalah, the Musa, the Kabbalah, the Hashkofa of the that doesn't coincide. It doesn't clash. That's fine. But what if the Halacha tells you one thing and Kabbalah tells you the opposite? For instance, what will be if? So we know just a few examples. So if what we discussed yesterday. Standing or sitting for putting on tefillin. So halacha tells us, we discussed yesterday, based on halacha, based on hilchas brachas and hilchas tefillin, you've got to stand. You've got to stand when you put on tefillin, you make the brachas. Be Kabbalah, it's more thought through to put on the tefillin whilst sitting. Other examples, so what do you do then? Do you do according to halacha, or do you can do what Kabbalah tells you? Another example, we find at the very, very first siman of Shulchan Aruch, we find that you shouldn't walk Dalet Amos without having, don't walk Dalet Amos. That's not, yeah, that's not referred. That's a good point as well, but that's not what we find in Siman Aleph. Without having washed Negelos. So we learned in Siman Aleph, really one of the first Mishnah Berurahs, he goes straight into the halacha, don't walk Dalet Amos, don't walk four Amos, without having washed Negelos. It doesn't say anywhere in Gemara, Shas, Poskim, it doesn't say anywhere such a restriction. No Gemara telling you that. But Al-Pi Kabbalah is something which is seriously wrong. Al-Pi Kabbalah is really, really, really bad to walk Dalet Amos. What do you do? Do you go according to Kabbalah or do you go according to Musa? Kabbalah or do you go according to Halacha? What do you do? Count these examples like that. Count the examples. Halacha doesn't. What could be other examples? Directions of bed. Yeah. Direction of bed, correct. Correct. Direction of bed is also. Yeah. So the Mishnah movie gives us the rules. It's klolim. It's rules. Guidelines. How do you treat that? What would you say? How do you treat it? If it's clashes, contradiction between Kabbalah and Halacha.
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 You must go. Surely it shouldn't be known. Surely you go by the Halacha.
Yeah. So you could argue, Stephen. The argument is. I hear what you're saying. I very much hear what you're saying. And obviously, though any of us over here, the very fact that we are learning Halacha. Obviously indicates that we value very much the correctness of halacha. But the argument would be that the whole halacha is just technical, it's just a way to, halacha is just a way to get the mitzvah right. And if a person could really do the mitzvah, it's just a means to an end. You could argue.
But Kabbalah, so, if the Kabbalah, if I'm not mistaken, is that the Rabbanan? It's not...
No, Kabbalah is, no, not necessarily. Kabbalah can be the Isa concept, very much so. Rabbi said, the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Mem Beis here gives us the guidelines when is a contradiction between Halacha and Kabbalah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, I'm skipping a few lines over here, and I'm in the Sifkot Mem Beis. The line starts with the word Ma'aminik by the 49 in our editions, and these are the words Mishmur. Kosev HaKnesa G'dol B'Kedol HaPoiskim, and Robert Feingold will probably point out, I don't know if all the Chassidim will agree to this, but we'll find out. Kosev HaKnesa G'dol B'Kedol HaPoiskim, the Knesset G'dol, one of the very early and important Achronim, writes the following rule. Kol Dava, any matter, Shebala Kabbalah V'Azoya, that the Kabbalah, which is early sources, V'Azoya, if there's a machloikus, there's a disagreement between the poiskim and the zoya. So halech achar gemar v'apoiskim. If there's a disagreement, you're going to go with halacha. Any disagreement, you go with halacha. Miu, however, in bale kabbalah machmir, if there's a stringency which is based on kabbalah. Stringency, which is based on Kabbalah, you should also be stringent. So that would be the example of who we just mentioned? Niglasa. That's a classic. Kabbalah tells you should be Machmir. What does Halacha say? Halacha says nothing in this regard. It doesn't say you have to walk more than the Adamus. It doesn't say that. Yeah, one sec. I'm going to finish this example. So this example is there's Halacha tells you nothing, no indication, and Kabbalah says you should be stringent. Okay, so fine, you're going to be stringent. If you want, that's what Kabbalah. If Kabbalah adds a stringency, go with it.
Can I ask, when we say Kabbalah, what's the source?
Good question. It's a really good question. I saw on Shabbos a discussion about what is a defined Kabbalah. Very good. So the simplest understanding of what you're saying is that the Zoya Kodesh, is Kabbalah. Now, because that's an early source. Kabbalah is the Zohar HaKadosh, which is early.
Well, why is it put on par with Halacha? I mean,
why does it?
Is it on par with Halacha?
Yeah, or? That will be. So if Kabbalah tells you to do something, and Halacha tells you the opposite, then go with Halacha. But, if Kabbalah tells you something additional, extra stringency, such as not walking Daladamas without Nigelasa, then go with it. You should go with it. It doesn't contradict. He said, Yesh Lachmir.
Then equally, if Kabbalah is less stringent than Halacha, you'll go with Halacha then.
Correct.
It's never less stringent, is it? Yeah, correct.
I can't think of an example. There might be. I don't know. Now, Ve'im lo yuska b'gemara poiskim, what if something is not mentioned in Gemara and poiskim? So it's not mentioning Gemara poskim. Aval pishenitzke b'kabbalah, but it's mentioning Kabbalah. Eino nicholim lochuv leinoike. You can't force anybody to do Kabbalah. So in the example of walking Dalad Amos, you can't force somebody. You can't call somebody, hey, shagets, why are you walking Dalad Amos? You can't. Because you can't force somebody. You can't force, it's not something which is brought in halacha. It's not brought in halacha. So you can't. So anything which is halacha overrides any Kabbalah. You should be machmir if possible on Kabbalah concepts, but you can't enforce it on somebody. V'din she'en muska behepach b'shasu poiskim yesh lirich divrei Kabbalah. But if possible, you should do Kabbalah. V'gam b'mokam she'esh plukte b'en ha'poiskim divrei Kabbalah achia. The last rule that he tells us is what if there's a machloikas. There's a machloikas, and some poiskim say do, and some poiskim say don't. There's a machloikas. And Kabbalah has got an opinion on that. If it's an equal machloikas, some go like this and some go like that, you should then the decisive decision should go according to Kabbalah. Anyway, you're safe on both sides, so you might as well go with Kabbalah. That's what the Mishnah Berurah's rules are. Very, very interesting, which is applicable in many instances. And you're going to see, and we have seen, and we will see, Mitzvah Hashem, that the Mishnah Berurah is consistently... He's very consistent about that. Whenever there is Kabbalah that can be added, so go with Kabbalah. Whenever there's something which is against Halacha, no, go with Halacha. I'm just thinking now, what did we discuss yesterday, which was a big Chiddush, which came from the world of Kabbalah? Yesterday we learned something which was in Kichas. So what did we learn yesterday? We discussed yesterday that when do you put on Tefillah Shel Rosh? After what? So Shulchan Aruch said, you put on Tefillah Shel Yad, and then you go straight away, you put on Tefillah Shel Rosh. And then subsequently, you're going to put on the, you're going to do the klichos, the wrappings. And then we learned that the Ari HaKadosh, which is Kabbalah, Kiswa, he says, don't do it like that. Rather, what you do is do tefillin shliach with the klichos, and then put in tefillin shliach. That's Kabbalah. That's Kabbalah. That's based on Kabbalah.
I would thought Kabbalah was something that if Nimna Shura said that you go something like a chassidim, you know.
It often is. It often is. It often is, yeah.
So it's something it's more stringent. It's something you do about what you're...
It often is. It doesn't have to be. Kabbalah can sometimes, you know, it's but it's
and
normally...
Over here, it's like a color isn't doing the creeping.
Yes, so I don't know how you look at it. I'm just... Yeah, so I'm now very much in doubt about this because... Why? But there is an element of leniency in it. Rabbi Ossel points out, because of Hefsek.
What you're saying is sometimes there's a stira in the thing. It's like Xavari, Xavisinisa, for the Ari, the sense is possible.
Correct.
So you can't use it. So that's already a stira. But then you're saying it's a...
It is a stira, because what are you going to do? What are you going to do first? Are you going to first finish off the kichos and then put on Tfil Shalosh? Or are you first going to put on Tfil Shalosh and then do the kichos?
It's not such a big Hefsek, because at the end
it's still a tzorich mitzvah. Right. Okay. It is interesting. Okay, that's that. But it's interesting to whenever we do sometimes encounter. We had many times Arizals, and that's answering your question as well. There is a discussion in contemporary Poskim, later Achronim, who discussed this Mishtabura, and they want to know what is categorized as Kabbalah. We sometimes find, so the Zohar Kodesh is certainly Kabbalah. That's Zohar Kodesh. What about Kisvei Arizal? Arizal came much later. Arizal was written 400-500 years ago. So is that really considered? Can that override? Is that also considered Kabbalah?
It is.
But Kiyab, sure. But it is a related Kufa. It's, you know, borderline Achonim. So would the Mishnebu also apply his rules to the Kisvei Arizal? Question mark. No, like, a lot of chidushim come from the Torah Zari. That's the Torah Zari. He's often his own. I'm not well versed in it, but a lot of things come from the Ari. He felt that this is the pnimis of the mitzvah. Okay. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we carry on now. We see if you'd base. Okay, page 68. Im meniach tefillin kama parom mibiyoyim. What happens if a person puts on tefillin numerous times on that day? How many brachas do you recite if you put on tefillin a few times a day? That, by the way, will be the halacha discussed if your person is being excused to put on tefillin again. Let's see. If a person puts on tefillin numerous times on one chosen day, you make a bracha every single time you put on tefillin. Every single time you put on tefillin, you're going to make a bracha.
You don't make a bracha on Rabbeinu Tam.
Yeah, because you'd never make bracha on Rabbeinu Tam. But we are talking about Rashi over here. Yeah. Nishmatu mimkoimam. If the tefillin fell off the correct place, such as tefillin shel yad or tefillin shel rosh, they're just not in the right place, positioned. Umemashmesh boem lachzirum limkoimam. And now you are feeling them, touching them, sensing them to put them back in the correct place. Tzorech levorach, again, you make a bracha again. So whether they were out of place, and you put them back straight, or you took them off altogether, and you put them back on, you're going to recite a new bracha. What if you only wanted the tefillin came off? In other words, the tefillin shel yad was good, tefillin shel rosh moved out, or vice versa. In other words, one of the tefillin moved, but the other one didn't. No. The Rambam says, depending on what tefillin shel rosh or tefillin shel yad, that one you make a bracha. You don't have to recite both brachas. Again, maybe obvious. What if you move them? Adaita with intention lachzirom to move them miyad. If you move them in order to put them back in the right place miyad immediately, so you make a bracha. Okay, this was all the world. And the words of the Shulchan Aruch comes the Rambam and he says, "V'yesh oimim shaloi levorech." No, we don't make a new bracha. We don't make a new bracha. One second. V'achinogen that is the minik. What case is he talking about? Sivkot mem zayin in the Mishnah Berurah. Shaloi levorech kiven sheizizon al daras lachzoil. Because you move them in order to put them back in the right place. However, if they move from themselves, they move themselves. Amrinon the teichav shenishmat as the mitzvah. If they moved out of their place on their own, independently, then the mitzvah disappeared. V'lehochi shasik le'arav la'mecha b'sham. So this is it. This is it. Yeah. So what the Ramah is telling us is that it depends very much on your intention. If you move them out, says the Ramah, with intent of putting it back on, you don't make a new bracha. But if they came out themselves, you had no intention of, and now you put them back in that place without you having an intent lechatchila, then in such an instance you're going to make a new bracha. What does that mean, halacha lemaaseh, Rabbi Yisai, in terms of somebody taking the tefillin off? So what happens, Rabbi Yisai? Now it comes to $1 million question. What happens if a person is taking his tefillin off because he has to be excused? When you put it back on, do you make a bracha? Yes or no?
That might be worse.
Why?
Because you can't wear them in the Beis HaKisa.
You cannot wear them in the Beis HaKisa.
If I remain in the Beis HaMedrash and I just decide for some reason that I want to take it off momentarily,
yeah,
that might be better because I couldn't be wearing them.
Very, very good. Very good. Rabbi Yisai, what any opinions on that? If a person has to take the tefillin off because he has to go to the Beis HaKisei, upon return, he puts the tefillin back on, does he or does he not recite a bracha?
No.
No? Why?
Because he's very... I wouldn't regard it as an interruption. Unless you regard it as an interruption, then yes. But I don't think, I wouldn't regard it as an interruption.
It's not an interruption, you say. So, we're going to see soon what the Mishabur says on this.
And also, if you did say a bracha, if you had to say the bracha again, would you have to do it in the same order you put it on the first time? So would you put the shal yad?
Yes, same order. If you put the tefillin back on, you're going to put it in the identical order back on. Yeah. Rabbi Sai, I want to read out to you the last three lines of the page, which is the last three lines of Sivkot Mem Vav. V'chein, and similarly, im chotzan lichmois lebeis hakisei, if a yid has to be excused, and he took his tefillin off to go to the beis hakisei, afilo yidai to the lof shon teichav, even if his intention is to put him back on immediately, tzoreich, he must, levoreich, make a renewed bracha, lekule alma, according to all opinions. Unlike what we learned with regards to, talis. So, there you go. Do ein reshai, these are now your words, precisely what you said a minute ago. Do ein reshai leilich bohem lebeis hakisei, because a person is not allowed to go to the Beis HaKisei with his tefillin on. Ve'itchilei and the mitzvah disappeared. Vanished. Gone. Thin air. Mitzvah's gone. So here you go, Rabbi Yisai. A person takes off his tefillin. He has to make a new bracha. Yeah, and the reason is because you're not allowed to take your tefillin to the Beis HaKisei. You're not allowed to go to the Beis HaKisei.
Same thing with food.
What's that?
Someone has to be excused, they go to the bathroom.
And after making your bracha?
Yeah.
Okay, but it's not so poshut. Not so poshut, but. Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes you're going to have to wash again. Absolutely, yeah.
What about also with a talus? You're not allowed to go to the toilet with a talus.
Who says?
So you could go
into
the toilet with your
talus. Yeah. So we discussed that. We discussed that, Stephen, and it's not so poshut. Perhaps you can take a talus. But either way, tefillin is more stringent. Yeah, so the shulchan.
What's the difference between tefillin and talus then? If you take the talus off, why would you not say a bracha?
Also, with the talus, you got talus cotton on, you're wearing a tzitzis, and therefore you're more connected still to the talus. So you don't recite the new bracha when you put on a talus. However, when it comes to tefillin, Rabbi says it's important. Now, I have a recollection of having heard a number of years ago, probably 10 years ago, I heard from the Gates of the Rav, who currently is not the Gates of the Rav anymore. He's come closer. Rabbi Zimmerman, if I'm not mistaken, this is a vague recollection I have. He told me that we don't paskin like this Mishtabua. And he told me that it depends if one takes off tefillin just for to urinate, then I believe he said I have to. Maybe I'm gonna find this psak written down somewhere. But then in such a case, he said that perhaps you don't make a new bracha when you put it on. The minig is, I don't know. I'm not sure about this. I didn't see it in the poskim. Mishnah Berurah is glass clear. The Mishnah Berurah is very, very clear that one should recite a new bracha when putting tefillin back on. Yeah, absolutely, yeah, exactly, yeah. No, sir, I'm not sure. I don't want to be misquoted on that because I may be misquoting Rabbi Zimmerman, who maybe said the minig is not like the Mishnah Berurah when it comes to urinating. But I don't know. And one can't go wrong by sticking to the Mishnah Berurah. One cannot go wrong because the Mishnah Berurah is clear and the Mishnah Berurah is very, very, very questionably paskening that if a person is being excused upon return, he puts on the tefillin with the bracha. Tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. Now, I do know that there are some chassidim, and Rabbi Fanny is going to correct me, I don't know if that's a universal chassidim minhag or not, I certainly piskei tshuvos, that some people, when they put on bracha second time, when they put on tefillin the second time, they're only going to make one bracha. Because, what's that based on? Why is that based on? Why would people, second time around, only make one bracha, not two? Where did that come from? I think it makes a lot of sense, actually. Where did that come from? Based on what we learned.
Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah, absolutely. Why? What does Shulchan Aruch say? Shulchan Aruch says, you only make one bracha at all times. Shulchan Aruch, the Sfadim, and the Chazon Ish, and many other Gedolim as well, they only made one bracha in the best of days. They only made one bracha on the... Like Shulchan Aruch says, you make one bracha on putting on tefillin. Now the Ramah says you make two. Okay. But for sure, second time round, you could argue that you only make one bracha and you don't get into that shaila. But it's not what the Mishnah Berurah paskens. Rabbi said, just to make that very clear, the Mishnah Berurah paskens cannot be overemphasized. A person is being excused. He comes back, he will put on the tefillin, and he'll recite two brachas. Yes.
If you took off the vision, but not to go to the belly to the toilet, for some other reason. So when you're not going to the toilet, you took off your tefillin for some other reason, whatever it might be. So and then you come back.
So then, the answer is, to your question, based on what Shulchan Aruch said earlier, the answer is, if his intention was that he's going to put them back on shortly, and he had no hesach hadas, his mind was always involved in the midst of tefillin, he didn't like completely switch it off, in such a case, he will put the tefillin back on without a bracha. He didn't lose his bracha. It's only because he goes to Beis HaKisse, he was not allowed to wear his tefillin, that he loses the bracha.
Eating?
Eating in the Beis HaKisse?
No, eating with your tefillin, you're not allowed to.
Who says? Well,
eating.
Who says?
Depends what you're eating, I suppose.
Who says? Yeah. Who says you're not to eat with tefillin? I mean, we don't, but it's not poshut. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, what we discussed today, we discussed the essential concepts of contradiction between Kabbalah and Halacha. If you can do both, great. If you can't do both, go with Halacha. If Kabbalah tells you Chumrah, then no, go for the Chumrah, but you can't force anybody to do the Chumrahs. We learned that if something is not brought down in Shas and Poskim, you can do the Kabbalah. But yeah, then we learned about taking tefillin off. If the Ramah passes, the Ramah's psak is that if you took tefillin off with intention of putting it back on, then you don't make a new bracha. If, however, you go to the Beis HaKisse, the halacha is, since you're not allowed to take tefillin to Beis HaKisse, it's itchilei mitzvos, you've lost the mitzvah, you lost the bracha, and therefore, it's a complete eschadas, and therefore, by putting tefillin back on, you're going to recite two new brachas. That's it for this evening, Rabbi Yisrael. I wish you a good evening.